pain. There is a need to kill, to, because there's a danger, or a person wants to take advantage. But when a person goes and he kills just for the sake of the pleasure of killing, this is a horrific crime. That's called ritzicha. There's alman and ger yaharegu. They killed them, as Rav Kalman is saying, for a purpose, because the alman and the ger, they have what to offer. They have assets. But because that they are vulnerable people, no one's going to stand up and no one's going to protect them. So therefore, they're able, they kill them, but they're killing this for a purpose. A yosaim has, there's nothing to gain by killing a yosaim. He has no money, he has nothing to offer. So what are you gaining? He's not a threat. The pleasure of murder alone, that itself is ritzicha. Pasuk zayin, vayoyimiru, lo yireka. This is what the Ummah Yisraelim have been saying from time immemorial, that Hashem does not see, v'lo yavinu l'kayakov, and Hashem does not understand. Binu, bar, and now comes the response. Now comes Hashem's response, binu bo'arim bo'am. Understand, you idiots. Shaitim sheba'am. Okay, this she'olam. This is a very good Rashi. Pasuches, binu, understand, bo'arim bo'am. Ho'umois, that's the om. And the word bo'arim is, bo'arim is a bar, means an animal. And here we refer to intelligence, a boar, the term intelligence, which means over here, shaitim sheba'ilam, the shaitim of the world. Wake up and understand, pasik mosai taskilu, when will you be enlightened? Pasik tas, or do you sukim anoite, oizna lo yishma. All the bases. Binu bonim ba'am. Very good. The chaf. Kisilim. Very good. Very good. Okay. There's the letters. They go together. It's very good. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see. So now, we'll just do 2 pages over here. Hanoita oizna lo yishma. If Hashem, now what we'll see with Mefarshim is that the Goyim, their claim is that Hashem does not know what is happening in this world. Hashem is not aware of the occurrences of this world because Hashem is kulu ruchni. Hashem is spiritual. And in spirituality, there's no faculties to hear, to see. In order to hear, you need to have the physical qualities of an ear. In order to see, you have to have the qualities of sight. So here, the Goyim, they say that Hashem, who is not a physical being, how could he possibly know what's going on in this world? Because Hashem is ruchni, is spiritual, and something that is spiritual does not have the ability to see and the ability to hear. So here the Pasuk responds and says, foolish people, if Hashem created the ear, don't you think Hashem hears? If Hashem created the eye, don't you think Hashem can look, can see? Rhetorical question. Hanoite oizen, halo yishma. Im yotzer ayin, halo yabit. If Hashem created the ear, doesn't that automatically mean that how could Hashem possibly create the ability to hear if Hashem himself does not hear? How could a person create the eye if Hashem himself does not see? It's a simple argument. How then can you be so foolish to think, to claim that Hashem does not see what's happening in this world? Hashem does not hear what's going on in this world? If Hashem is the one who created the Koyach Ari'i, the Koyach Hashmi, of course Hashem hears and Hashem sees everything that's going on in this world. Now this pasuk is a very interesting pasuk, and this really needs a lot of discussion. But Hayoser, Hayoser Goyim, Halo Yechiach, Hamelamed Adam Doas. There are 3 parts, and it's not so clear how all 3 parts go together. But basically, we have to learn the first very carefully in this pasuk. But basically, these are years. If Hashem chastises the other nations, don't you think He'll chastise you? Look around, and look and study world history. Study what goes on in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He punishes people. Hashem brings punishment upon people. He gives musar to people who misbehave. So don't you think Hashem will eventually catch up with you? If other people have been punished, the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFlogah, There have been so many stories in history of the world where wicked people have been eliminated, have been severely punished. Sedoim va'amoira. There have been the nations that have been punished. Hashem punished the Jewish people. So therefore, don't you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will one day come and punish you? If Hayoyser Goyim, if Hashem has the koyach to chastise nations of the world, halo yochiach, don't you think he will rebuke you? You being either the nations today that cause problems for the Jewish people, or you means any individual who is a troublemaker. Hamelamed Adam Doas, Hashem has given man intelligence, and therefore this really goes back to what the beginning is. Use your intelligence to understand that your day will come. And if you don't want to suffer at the end, behave yourself now. Hashem yodea machshavos Adam, Hashem knows the thoughts of man. Ki hei mohavel, they are futile, they are futility. And some of the information we learn is that hei mohavel, Hashem knows, and you think that Hashem does not know. That's the hovel. The hovel is that this that man thinks that Hashem does not know. That is the ultimate degree of hevel. And then it begins a new section. We'll just read the post on the page. Ashrei hagever asher tiasrenu. Okay, now it begins a really new section, but because it's on this page, I'll read it anyway. Ashrei hagever asher tiasrenu. Praiseworthy is the man which Hashem chastises. Umi toiras chasalamedenu. And from Hashem's Torah, from your Torah, do you teach him? Okay, then that's going to go.
Why is praiseworthy? Chastises you.
Because we learned this 100 times, because it cleanses a person's neshama in this world so he can enjoy the ultimate reward in the next world. If a person has an easy life and goes through this world and he has no suffering, then he's gotten all of his reward in this world. And in the next world, there's nothing left. So if a person over here in this world is not given his reward and is punished for his minor sins, so then when he comes to the next world, he's clean, squeaky clean, and can enter into the highest realms of the upper world. It's the basic principle. The basic principle is a person should not be boyei to be yisurim. Person suffers in this world. It is for his good. This is our emunah. It is a cleansing of the neshama, and it prepares the neshama for a much better experience in the Olam HaEmes, the Olam HaNitzri, through the cleansing of what has happened here in this world. We have it all over the place. We don't want this. We're Meichelot, Lehein V'Leischaron. But after the fact, the reality is that we have been cleansed. That's why the Jewish people, they went down to Mitzrayim for 210 years. It was the Kor HaBarzel, the suffering, V'Avodum, the Inui Oysam, purify them. It conditioned their neshamas to be servants, and then they were able to channel that servitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so over here we've really gone through a lot of different ideas. Many of these ideas, it appears at face at the surface, they have no connection with one another. We say this every single week on Wednesday. This is the Shir Shlom of Wednesday, and there are a lot of very deep ideas in each of these psukim. So let's see what we can do. So let's first go look over here in the Mitzudas David on all these psukim. I'm starting with Pasuk over here. There's very little Mitzudas David. Okay, uncharacteristic of the Mitzudas David to basically not give a commentary on most of the psukim over here. And the first one he comments on is Pasuk Zayin, Vayoyimiru, the Goyim, our enemies, they say, Lo Yirekov, Lo Yavin, Elokei Yaakov, Hashem does not see and Hashem does not understand. Pasuk Zayin, the Mitzudah Estavev, Lo Yavin, Eino Noisim Lev, Lehisboinin, Bema'aseyem, Hashem does not pay attention to understand the evil deeds. The Goyim thing, they can do whatever they want and Hashem is not watching. They can perpetuate their evil. They can steal, rob, take advantage of the vulnerable, and there is no God. There is no one watching what they are doing. Binu atem ashoitim shebaam tenu lev lohavin. Understand that Hashem is watching. Hashem is watching. You will be held accountable for your evil. This world is not a place of hefker. I don't know. Let's see over here. He tries to say a little bit. Pasuk Ches, the Malbim. Let's go learn. Because of the question, let's learn the Be'er Hamilas, page 850 in the Malbim. Binu bo'arim uchesilim mosait haskilu. Kivor his bo'er. Shehabar Nivar Midas. A bar does not possess intellect. Okay, there's nothing, it's an empty head. There's nothing to work with. There's no.
It's like a boar.
What? A boar?
Yeah, boy.
A boar? I don't know what a boar means. What is a boar? A boar in English? A boar.
No brains?
Okay, I'm not familiar with the exact translation, the exact meaning in English and in other languages. A boar. A boar means an uncultured, wild person. Okay, does that mean that the person has no intelligence? Very possible. Very possible. Over here, but he's telling us that the word boarim is a human being that just doesn't have brains. There's no potential. Okay, you see this, you know, in students. There are certain students that are intelligent. And if you work with them, you can develop their potential. And then there are people, there's no one to nothing to work with. There's just no intelligence. No matter how hard you try to train them to think, they don't. There's just nothing there.
No comprehension.
There's no comprehension. There's nothing to work with. So a bar...
How can you say bino?
Bino, that's exactly what it means. Bino means that you should be given...
They have
no potential. Okay, you're right. I don't know. Let's see. You're right. But a seal appears to be a person who does have intelligence. It's just he is off. He's raw. He's off. Why is he off? Because he did not... He you know, taiva. They're very...
Is the difference between bina and das? Just to answer that question.
Bina is maven dava mitach dava. Das is the basic building blocks of intelligence. Okay, there are different levels. There are people who are intelligent. A person can understand Masechta Shabbos, and Masechta Bava Kamma, and Masechta Yevamos. And then someone that has Bina is able to compare the principles of Masechta Shabbos to Masechta Yevamos, and to see the differences, and to see the similarities, and to bring out new concepts. Only through his talent of being able to compare and analyze what's the difference between this and this. Some people don't get so far. You give them a Masechta Shabbos, okay, I got it. I learned all the rules. You give them a Masechta Yevamos, I got it. But they're unable to go to the next level and make that analysis and take note of contradictions and resolutions to the contradictions, which in turn bring out new principles that one would otherwise not understand. It's a much higher level. That is being maven dover mitoich dover. Das is just the basic building blocks of understanding. And when you come to relate to crime doesn't pay, okay, so there are different levels of crime doesn't pay. There's a basic level of crime. If you do a crime, you go to jail and you sit in rot and gesundheit. And then there's a higher level of understanding of crime doesn't pay, not because of the punishment. It's because it is an act of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are different levels of understanding. So here he's saying to the bar, understand, it doesn't pay. Just the basic level of understanding. If you go and you do a crime, you're going to suffer. You're going to burn. And when it comes to the kaseel, we're telling him, you have more potential to understand a greater depth in the horror of rebelling against Hashem. Let's see. Look.
That's that from birth. And umelamed le'enosh bina. You can teach a person lehavin davar mitoch davar. Even if you tipesh, if you don't understand, but compare it to whatever.
Right. It's a talent. It's definitely a very big talent to teach a person how to think. Critical thinking, okay, in education, that's a very big debate in the techniques of education. Is there such a thing of teaching students how to think critically, or it's you can't teach that. It's not something that either you got it or you don't. Okay,
there's like
Ian? Yeah. The Gemara, there's something called learning Mishnah and learning Talmud. Mishnah is you learn the basic facts. Talmud is to compare. You have a Mishnah in this Masechta and a Mishnah in another Masechta, and at first glance they contradict one another. There's a contradiction. So even to take note of the contradiction is a madrega. Mishnah is learn what it says in this Mishnah. Repeat after me. Do you understand the principles? There's a principle. That's called Mishnah. That's a basic level of understanding. Then comes what the Gemara used the term Talmud, which is, did you realize that the Mishnah over here is a contradiction to the Mishnah over there. That's a higher level of intelligence. It's not to be narrow and just, okay, I learned this Mishnah, and then I learned this Mishnah, and that's it. I understand what it says here, I understand what it says here. There's a higher level of now, okay, stand back, and do you now realize that there is a contradiction between A and B? Do you realize the contradiction? Oh, I never thought of that. It's staring me in the face. How come you didn't think about it? Okay, that's higher level. And now what's the answer? What's the difference? Oh, that's even a higher level. To be able to resolve contradictions. That's a higher level than just learning the basics. Can you teach a person to be critical? To a degree, yes, and to a degree, no. Critical thing, you know, they always, you know, in the more modern world, you know, the more secular world, the Maila, it's always a critical edition of the Ramban. A critical, like, if you just go and you write a Sefer, big deal. A critical edition of a classic Sefer. There is truth to it, but it's usually a lack of derecherets, this type of approach, that term. I was just reading over, you know, there was a senator, he said, I mean, he's talking about certain things that the government does, science, not going to get involved because everyone is nogei bedavar in these matters. And he's saying is that the definition of science is to be critical. You start off with challenges. If there are problems, in a problem, that's the method. The method, the scientific method, is you are suspect from the very beginning. You are guilty until proven innocent. And when you have people out there that are promoting a science that you're innocent, and even though there are many things that don't make any sense, it's a coincidence, it's just, you know, that's not science. Traditionally, science is to be critical, that is a degree of bina, of, wait a minute, prove the core, the essence that it's right. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, to a very large degree, introduced into Torah, he gets credit, he's not the real one who introduced this, because there are many people that came before him that did this, but he introduced a scientific approach to the study of Talmud. And the way that's typically explained is that he broke everything down into its smallest parts. Okay, we have to appreciate this point. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he introduced into the study of Talmud something unique. All of the yeshivas, the Soloveitchik approach to the study of Talmud. What does that mean exactly? So it means two things. Number one, it means that he broke down everything into its smallest parts. You have a sugya, and you read the Gemara. Wait a minute. Make believe the Gemara is a car. Take the car apart into every single part. Every screw, every bolt, every part. How many parts are there in a car? Okay, I'm going to tell you, this is commercial, Honda Accord. They took the Honda Accord, it was then probably a $30,000 car, and Honda gave them a free car, $30,000 car, and they literally took it apart into every single part. Every single thing that you can unscrew, everything you can unscrew, they took apart. And you put in a room, you have a beautiful car, a $30,000 car, you take it apart into every single thing that can be possibly taken apart. Okay, that is called the scientific approach.
There's Maaseh HaMitzvah, there's Ruach, the meaning of the mitzvah.
Now there's another thing. Okay? There's another element in the scientific approach. It's not just taking things to its smallest parts. There is to be critical. It's to challenge every given. Why is this so? You're telling me this is the way it is. Who says? It's the same idea as taking everything into physically into its smallest parts. It's every concept is built upon principles. Why is that principle true? Every principle in a sugya has to be dissected and analyzed and proven to be correct, and especially in how they interact with one another. Okay, so look over here at what it says in the Malm. The Malm over here says, it's on page 850, Mizmor Tzadik Dalet, Pasik Ches, Binu Bo'arim Bo'am Uchesilim Masai Taskilu. Dr. Dov, he wants to know the chilek between a bar and a kesil. And here it says, Binu Bo'arim Uchesilim Masai Taskilu, Kvar Espire, Shehabar Niv'or Midas. Niv'or means he is denied, he is missing, it's lacking intelligence. Loi kein hakesil, hu baldas. He's a brilliant person. Why then is he corrupt? Money, taiva. And the goal of what he wants, it may not work with his intelligence. So you gotta bend the rules. Kilogenaxil, hu baldas. Rak ta'avosoi te'aver enough. He has all the intelligence. What is he lacking? He's lacking basically discipline. How does one have discipline? Yiras Elokim. Okay, the most advanced society in this world was not Germany. The most advanced society in the world ever had was Gror, Plishtim. Plishtim. Avraham Avinu testified. Avraham Avinu was an honest man. Honest Abe. He was the first honest Abe. Avraham Avinu. Isha Emes Avraham Avinu. And what did he say? That I'm very impressed with the land of the Plishtim. He told Avimelech that Rak in Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. What does it mean the word Rak? This is the only thing that's missing. You have here in this country, in the land of the Plishtim, everything a society can possibly want. Everything. The streets are squeaky clean. Everyone has parnasa. Everyone has entertainment. Everything that a psychologist, sociologist, you name it. Whatever you had, they had there in this land, everything. Much better than Germany. You know what they were missing? Rak in Yiras Elokim. There's no fear of God. And when there's no fear of God, all of your intelligence and your scientific advancement and your technology, it will be twisted and corrupted to achieve your agenda. You're all a bunch of kisilim, fools. You have the intelligence, but your taivos, your desires, and your goal will corrupt your intelligence.
That we always have a problem with that. We say about Tachmonen, we say Nusach Sfarat, we say Te'ab Chokhmah Bina V'Da'at.
Chabad.
And then Nusach Ashkenaz,
Deya Bina V'Haskel.
It's
different strokes for different folks.
But it's different.
Chabad. Chochma bina das. Okay, so yeah, 100%. It's very deep. It's a very deep, deep difference between Nusach Sfarad and Ashkenaz. It's literally worlds apart. It's worlds apart, and how to analyze these. What do these words mean? Chochma, bina, and das, and then the order, and in the context of the bracha, how does it all come together? Ashkenaz dea, bina. The Haskel, but you ato chonein leodam das umelamed leenosh bino choneinu meitcha deya bina the Haskel. Okay, so there are three things. Define each one of those words. Explain the significance of the order, and then understand all of this within the context of how it's presented in this bracha. And the same thing for Nusach Sfarad, and you'll come out with you get multiple PhDs. In order to understand the psychology and the human condition and how all of these things interact. And obviously, different strokes for different folks. Obviously,
maybe it's me'akala la'kaved or me'akavede la'kav.
Right.
Because
look, we all know people.
What's more difficult to get?
You go into a room. There are two people. You can have at least three opinions. Right, we all know. People are complicated, and people are very, very different. People are just wired. They're wired differently. They have a very different. I know someone. Everything that goes on in this world, everything is all about the Medina, Zionism. Everything. It's like why was there an earthquake? Because of the Zionists, because of the Medina. Why was there a solar eclipse? Because of the how crazy can you be? And he really believes it. How warped is your mind, where every little thing that goes that happens, it all goes back to the state, the Zionists, the Zionists. It's like a sickness, an illness. That's how he's wired. And there are other people that are wired. You know, everything is a conspiracy theory. Everything is a conspiracy theory. Nothing is glat. Nothing is glat. And then there are people that are very, very, you know, they're always down the kafskus, the bardishava. Everything, oh, in the greatest crime, oh, you see a zuchus. You know, people, Hashem made a lot of different people, and these two mahalcha nusach Ashkenaz, nusach Svard, is touching upon a very different beast. Different men are from Mars, and women are from Venus. Look at a man and a woman. A man and a woman have nothing in common. Nothing. And anyone that thinks they have something in common is in for a big surprise. Okay, it's just Hashem made people differently. And when you have Nusach Ashkenaz, okay, Germany and France, they stuck with a certain approach, and it came out in the Nusach HaTfilah. And the more of the Hasidic world, okay, Poland and Litta, they have in Russia, they're wired differently, and it came out in their Nusach, okay. Eda HaMizrach, also, it's different. That's the way Hashem made the world. Different. Any event, over here, we have over here a basic translation of between over here, what is over here, and it says over here, going back over what is over here in the Malbum. Now over here it says, again, V'yesh Havdil, let's go further over here in the Malbum, in the Ber HaMilois, V'yesh Havdil, Bein Bina, V'seichel, Sha'bina, Eina, Shaletes, Al Kol HaDvarim, Ki Chugi HaChochma, godly things, lo yusku bebinas adam, avla seichel hu koyach chad sheyavor gam badvarim elish ein habina shaletes. Kama shakasav du hirish mishle v'chamu kamas. He says a principle. Okay, he says over here a very deep principle, which, again, the Malbim is a modern. He's the Renaissance man. Okay, he's a more recent. Figure on the world scene. He has revolutionized the way to, you know, to look at Tanakh, and he's saying an idea which I don't know if you have anyone else that says this, is whenever it says the word Bina is limited to science. It's limited to the understanding of the natural world. The word Bina does not allow, the concept of Bina does not enter into spiritual concepts. Seichel, this is his dictionary. You can certainly bet that you're going to find achronim, and maybe even rishonim, that don't agree to this kant, don't agree with what he says. He's saying over here, based on his analysis, the word bina represents the understanding of science. And if you tell a person a spiritual concept that does not fit into the laws of physics and nature, then they're going to look at you, I don't understand, it doesn't make any sense what you're talking about. Seichel is a category of knowledge that transcends the limitations of the physical world of science and enters into the world of ruchnius. This is a really good Malbum. It's good that you asked this, because otherwise I wouldn't have read this. And he's saying over here this idea, and you have to really see if it works out every place. One more time over here. Ki chuke, let's look one more time. It's the third line down in the Be'er HaMilos. V'yesh hevdel, there is a fundamental difference between bina v'seichel. Sh'habina eina sheletes al kol hadvarim. Only ki chuke, the laws, ha'chochma of wisdom, v'chein hadvarim, spiritual matters, lo yusku bebinas adam, is not within the realm of the concept called bina. Ata chonen le adam das, umelamed le enosh bina. That just means an understanding of the world of nature and science, physics. Period. Aval haseichel. The concept of seichel, who koyach chad over here either means it's unique. Sheyavor, it transcends, it enters gam bidvarim ho'ela she'en habina sheletes, beyond the limitations of the natural world. Kimosha kasafti beperush mishnoi bekamukaymus ve'alkein omar shehakisilim yaskilu, the kisilim. We put the terminology of the kisilim of yaskilu. They're making spiritual mistakes. The haboarim yovinu maile kol echad lemadrego yoiser gavoya kefi madregosai. We're asking each one of these creatures to go up one notch. Sheiav shaloi mashabar yaskli. You can't ask a bar, a person that does not even understand the physical world, to understand spiritual concepts. You have to go step by step. First, you have to take a person who lives in this world and teach him the basics of how this world operates. And then, after he understands the basics of science and physics, then we can go higher into the Olam HaRuchni and to see how there are things that are above the laws of nature. Very good. The Madregos. First, Lahavin, we have to be able to. And he's saying over here a principle. He's saying over here, you cannot come to Ruchnius before you understand Gashmius. You can't appreciate. It's. You have to go. You have to follow the steps. The Vilna Gaon is famous for saying that if you don't understand music, you're lost. You're lost in the spiritual world. Okay. Many people don't know the first thing. I don't know the first thing about music. I don't know the Aleph Beis about music, so what can I say about myself? You don't understand the principles of music. It's a very important thing to understand all of the principles. I mean, I remember when I was a child, my parents enrolled me on the Lower East Side in the Henry Street settlement. Okay, my parents enrolled me to violin lessons. Yeah. I went with my cousin Meir Krasner. And all the kids in our class, we were in elementary school, we all went for these lessons. I remember the teacher, she was a strange bird. And we all went there once a week to the Henry Street settlement on Grand Street, and we had violin lessons, you know, and I couldn't hack it. And I just basically dropped out. My parents were very upset. They spent a lot of money. It's very expensive, these lessons. So they said, you know what, why don't I have an older sister? Let her finish off the lessons. She seems to like this. We would go there. It was a whole trip. And today she is a professional violinist that participates in some very prestigious orchestras, lawyer orchestra. We used to go to the Pope Auditorium. She's now, because of that, my failure is her success. She's an outstanding, successful violinist. She has a very, you know, she's a connoisseur on all done for violins and bows and all the strings. And the Vilna Gaon says, if you don't know this, there's no chance you'll know anything in the world of Ruchnius.
But it's like Rabbanus, you can't make a living on it.
What?
It's like Rabbanus, you
can't make a living, that's for sure. You can't make a living on Rabbanus, for sure you can't make a living on it. And music goes, you're exactly. What do you do for a living? Exactly. So over here, he's telling over here, these are two different ideas.
It says, even at Aisha, the woman has a...
Bina Yisera. Bina Yisera.
It's not learning, but she can understand. She has Bina.
Oh, so I thought you were going to say something very nasty. is that men, women take care of the Gashmias, and the men are in charge of the Ruchnias. So Chazal say women have a Bina Yisera, they're more focused on the Gashmias. Because Bina is the physical world. Seichel is the spiritual world. The men are in the clouds, right? The men are all Sefloigen. And the women are grounded. They're grounded in the physical world. They're much more attuned. You know, women, they see you, they can right away...
It's the other way around. Men are more analytical and women are more emotional. So emotional is more spiritual.
It all depends how you look at it. It all depends. A woman looks at a man, she right away can see if the shoes are polished, if the tie is made right, if you got a haircut. They see details that you would never imagine, just one quick glance. A man, he looks at another man, he looks at a woman. I'll tell you once, I was once a Shabbos guest, and it was raining, it was snowing, and the wife said to the husband that they left, they had boots, so she gave this other woman that had no boots because it was snowing her boots, and then the wife said, "Didn't you notice she was wearing my boots?" And the look on the husband was, I have no clue. No clue. like, what are you wearing? What boots you have? Like, and like the wife, don't you know? Like, it's like so obvious. And the husband was like, what? I ever pay attention to your boots? You think I know what they look like? Okay, whatever. Let's go further over here. We're done with this. Let's go further. So they have Bina Bardamom, Rosil Mosai, Taskilu. Go back over here to the Mzuzdavid, and then turn the page over here. Mosai, Taskilu. We're up to the back door. That's a very hard door to close. If you can close that door, you get a prize. You got it closed? You got it closed? Wow, amazing. That's a hard door to close. Okay. Mayor's in charge giving out prizes. Door to door. Door to door. Okay, let's learn over here in the next page, page 853, continuing the Mitzudos Nisvi Psukim, these two pages, Hanoite Halo Bevada, Hanoite Oizen Hu Yishma. Mitzudos David, Ki Im Hoyo Hasogas Ha Shema Neloma Mimenu, Ein Bor Eich Boruch Oizen Bkli Ha Shema. If Hashem did not hear, does not have the ability to hear, how could Hashem possibly create the Koyach HaShemia? So don't make a mistake. This is the argument with the Malbim, the other Rishon, they bring it very well. Is the argument that the Goyim make is everything we know about hearing and seeing and our senses, they're all physical. To see, you have to have all the multiple parts of the eye to see. To hear, you have to have all the different parts. So a spiritual being does not have these physical elements. So if Hashem, which is a purely spiritual being, does not have anything, there's no physicality, how could Hashem possibly hear what we say? How could Hashem possibly see what we're doing on this world when Hashem is a spiritual entity? If Hashem is a physical being, so then, he's just better than us, so he has X-ray vision. So in Shemayim, he sees every single human being, and he sees exactly what they're doing, and he hears what they're saying. Because if Hashem has a koich of Shemia, so it's like, you know, you have a camera. There's a camera here in the room, and the camera many times has sound, and we know we have all these very sophisticated technology. Every technology that we have is all physical. There's nothing spiritual, it's all physical. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam is a physical being, so he's like a big satellite in the sky, who sees everything and hears everything and is able to comprehend everything. But guess what? Hashem is not physical. Hashem is spiritual. If Hashem is spiritual, how could he possibly see, hear, and know what's going on? This is the argument of the Apikorsen. And it's a very powerful. It's a very powerful argument. There's something to the argument. Everything in this world that involves sight and hearing sound is physical. So if Hashem is, there's no physicality, how is it possible? So to that, the Moshe Rabbeinu responds, excuse me, it's a good question. Don't put down a good question. Question has to be acknowledged. It's a valid question. It's a very good question. However, who created the Koyach of Re'ir? Who created the Koyach of Shmir? The Ribbono Shel, do you admit to that? Do you acknowledge that? So any thinking apikores will have to acknowledge, yes, there's a God, and God created this world. And he created the Koyach of Shmir and the Koyach of Re'ir. That automatically has to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear and can see, even though he's not physical.
That's all based on the premise to begin with that they believe in God.
We're working here, they do. Okay, we're working over here with to be an apikoris, you have to be a Baal Matrega.
Okay,
you have to know something. We're dealing over here with people who acknowledge that the world came into existence through God. There's no way this world, but what do they say? They say either Hashem left, he set up the world. The most popular form of apikoris is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the world, but he left, he went away. He went away, or even if he's here, he's present, he's powerless to do anything, and he doesn't even know what's going on. So we're dealing with that degree of apikoursis, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but because Hashem is not physical, there's no physicality, he cannot possibly see and hear what's happening in this world. Just like in this world of a human being, if Rahman al-Islani loses his eyesight, or his hearing, he can't hear and can't see. There's nothing to talk about. So if Hashem doesn't have these physical these entities, impossible. Yeah, may have a super duper satellite in the sky that can zoom down and can see a dime on the floor. We know that these things exist, and they can see through clouds, they can see through building materials. So Hashem is just a super duper over the top satellite that can do everything and can see everything. But Hashem is not physical, so Hashem can't see all this. On that, the response is, excuse me, sir, who created the Koyach of Re'ir? Who created the Koyach of Shmir? Hashem. It automatically has to be that Hashem has, there's a dimension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is beyond our understanding, which has the Koyach of Shmir, the Koyach of Re'ir, even though he has no physicality.
But the world has come so, in those days, back then, all the guy and they feared what God would do to them and take retribution. They were all scared of that, right?
Now, they were very religious. They were religious.
There was a certain amount that they believed in God putting it so.
Niskanu
Hadaris. Nowadays, there is no God. God is something you made up just to placate yourself, to come up with answers for things that you don't have an answer.
Look, Lahavdil Elif Alfe Avdolos. Okay, last week was in their terminology, was Easter. I don't even know what Easter is. I have no idea. I don't know anything about this. It was a Goyisha holiday, it's a Goyisha Christian holiday. So they showed a picture of New York City in the 1930s on this day, on this holiday, and they basically showed in the skyline, wherever you look, there were Salems, all over the place. It was a New York City that was a heavily Catholic or whatever, Protestant,
religious.
Do they like Jews? No. We're not here, but okay, not talking about, do they like, of course they don't like Jews. Halacha b'yudu Esav son Yaakov. But exactly what you said, they believed in God. Isn't there a Rambam that says that Christianity, there's some element of good in it? I mean, I don't know what the Rambam would say after the Crusades, if he would still say such things after what they did, and you know, the Muslims were pretty bad also in his lifetime. But they believed in God. And now here we are in 2024. I don't have to go tell you what the heresy of the President of the United States to declare that day to be a Yechvesnish. You know what it means? With the biggest to'evos and the biggest insult to the Ribbono Shel Olam in complete breach.
That's a mistake that the Pope just made when he announced that what they think that they can do transgender. God created a man, God created a woman, and said, back up one step, Mr. Pope. These people don't even believe in
God.
So what are you trying to say? This is against what God did.
Okay, so that's a general question. So we're not even dealing with that. We're not even dealing, yes, very good. This specific pasuk appears to be dealing with people that are believers. You're right, you're saying that this pasuk you're saying is not even relevant today because they're so far gone, they don't believe in anything. They don't believe in anything. And therefore this pasuk...
Even their feelings, whatever they feel...
I don't know what they believe in. I don't know what they believe in. It's very, very frightening. It's very frightening. There's no one to talk to. There is literally no one to talk to. And here, David, Moshe, is talking to people who think. They're thinkers, they're believers, they believe in God, and they have some very difficult questions. And Moshe's coming, and because of their questions, they've adopted a certain lifestyle, and Moshe is setting them straight. Good, you believe in God, and you have this world came into existence through a divine being, and now you have a problem, and your problem is that according to your understanding, in order to see and hear, there should be records of crime. There has to be a physical physicality. And God, who created this world, is not a physical being. So how could God hear and see all the crimes of this world? So crime pays, because there's no record. As long as you get away with it, there's no record. And that, Moshe responds, very good, you're a believer. That's quite an accomplishment. And you have a question, and I'm going to respond to your question. If God, this being that is not physical, was able, even though he's not physical, to create the physicality of hearing and seeing, that automatically means that in Hashem's dimension of spirituality, he's also able to see and hear every single thing that happens in this world in a dimension that you don't understand, that's beyond your comprehension. Okay, we always think that Hashem is, we paint Hashem in our image. Whatever we can do, so Hashem just can do better. But Hashem is not beyond our capabilities. That is the point of the mistake. Hashem, we have nothing in common with Hashem. Hashem is beyond our limitations in ways that we can't comprehend. And if Hashem created the Koach of Riyah and Shmi in the physical world, that means Hashem is able to hear and see what goes on, even though he is not a physical being. Mitzuda is David. Hanoita halo bevadai hanoita oizen hu yishmo. Eki im hoisa hasogas hashema nelema mimen rivakadosh baruch was not able to hear. Ich boru hoizen kili hashema. Im yoitzer ayin. Im omam hu yoitzer ayin. If Hashem is the creator, if you acknowledge that Hashem created the Koach HaRi'iyah, then Hashem does not need to be physical in order to see. Halo bevadai lo ne'elomo mimenu hasogas harus. Now, here comes the very interesting pasuk, and I want to tell you a drush on this. Hayoyser. Now, the Mitzvah of the Gog, he goes on to say, he seems now to deviate. Hayoyser goyim halo yochiach. Hamiyasre es hagoyim b'mabul v'haf pa logo. Halo yochiach eschem. He will give you musar. Af imatem harabim, even though you are many, you're numerous. Hamalamed halohu hamalamed la'adam das. He teaches man understanding. Uva habotel bu'etes yovin ma'aseyem. And with just a small gaze, if Hashem is the one that endows knowledge, Hashem has the ultimate knowledge, he understands man's ways, yovin ma'aseyem, v'aleihem and Hashem will rebuke man. So notice over here in Pasuk Yud, he's saying a different idea than what he said in Pasuk Tes. The Pasuk Tes is, if Hashem created the ear, Hashem can hear. If Hashem created the eye, Hashem can see. And now Pasuk Yud, even though the language, the style is almost identical, it means something completely different. If Hashem has given Musar to the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFloga, by destroying the world and dispersing them, and likewise all the wicked people that we can identify, we can study history and can note that they disappeared and they were obliterated. So don't you think you're going to be better? Halo Yoichiach, your day of reckoning will come. Is it not so that Hashem will give you Musar? Don't you think Hashem knows what you're doing? Don't you think Hashem recognizes that you're evil? Hamelamed Adam Doas. If Hashem is the one who created knowledge, don't you think Hashem is smart? If Hashem created knowledge, Hashem is able to give one glance and figure you out and see right through your charade and see what your agenda is and to see that you're evil, and the day your day of reckoning will come. That's pretty much how he ties the pasuk. He's adding a lot of words into the pasuk, and it's not so clear. Now, I want to tell you a drush, and I don't know if anyone says this. Maybe someone will come across that says this. I don't think so. But every time I say this in davening, I always think this pshat, and maybe it's not correct. But why does not continue the same theme? Hashem creates the eye. So what does that mean? It means that Hashem can see. If Hashem created the ear, that means Hashem can hear. If Hashem gives Musar, so that means that Hashem is the ultimate Baal Musar. Who is Hashem? Define Hashem. Is Hashem a being that slouches around, that's lazy, that is unaccountable? You know, there are people out there, they demand very high standards from other people, but they themselves are lazy good for nothings. You have a boss, and the boss, he comes in every day to work. He comes in 11 o'clock. But if his workers come in a minute after 8:30, they don't get a bonus. Or they're gonna checking a clock in. Put your card in, clock in. When does the boss show up? He shows up 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. He goes out for a coffee break half the time. He's very lazy. What does he do? So he'll say, you know, I own the business. It's my business. Okay, very good, fine. You cannot expect more from others. Real successful people who run big companies, they're workaholics. They come into the office before anyone else, and they work the whole day, and then they demand high standards from their workers. If the Ribbono Shel Olam gives Musar to other people, why did you do that? Why did you not do that? You know what that means? That the Ribbono Shel Olam himself is the ultimate Baal Musar. He is perfect. You can't go preach if you don't practice. If Hashem demands from us perfection, it means that Atzur Tamim Pa'olo. Ki chol derach of mishpat, kel emuna the ein ovel tzaddik v'yashar hu. Why? Because if that's what Hashem demands from us, to be a tzaddik and to be yashar, it automatically means that Hashem is a tzaddik and a yashar. Apikorsim out there in this world, they go and they say, you know, the evil genius principle, that there's an evil God. But in this world, it's a virtue to be righteous, to be good, because that's how you survive in this world. But God himself, you know, he doesn't have to, he can do whatever he wants. He can have a good time. He can sit back, relax, and slouch. This part is, Hayoyser Goyim, if the Ribbono Shel Olam has taken it upon himself to rebuke the nations of the world, and to hold them accountable, and to destroy the world for the Mabul, to spread out the Dor HaFloga, you know what that means? Halo Yochiach. It means Hashem. The word Yochiach here in this context is an adjective. Hashem is the ultimate Baal Musa. Everything that Hashem does is perfect. Hatsur Tamim, because it cannot be that Hashem would demand from you something that he does not demand from himself. His Torah, his instruction for humanity and for Klal Yisrael is a reflection of what he demands, of the way he is noyeg. He is the ultimate yochiach.
I think what he goes here by Shlabim. If Hashem put an ear the matara of the ear is not to have a hole in the head. It means in order to hear. Now, if he gives musar, the musar becomes now physical. Physical, his dream or musar, whatever. In order to do something like shmi'ah, yochiach, kedei lehochiach, not in order just to get isurim for no purpose. No yochiach. If he gives you that, that the that became physical now. That it's an item. It's a noun. The that in order to do what? To learn from it something. Not to just I have a that, but I don't use it. And Hashem yodea machshevot. Hashem obviously knows what's the purpose of the dot, because he created the dot. Dot is physical. Yisurim is dot, or musar is dot, is physical. And then there is a purpose.
Okay, I hear. I have to. Yeah, I think
it's comparison to the ozen and the ayin.
I hear. Okay, let's finish up over here the mitzvah, so we can go further tomorrow. And let's run through quickly over here. Pasuk ki heim havel, pasuk dal vi yes Hashem yodei machshos lom ki Hashem knows the thoughts of man ki mavel. Mitzudas mul chokhmas hamakom lehevel techashev. Man's thoughts are nothing. Vi yuvan in kein b'habotem uetas Hashem can understand man in one moment. I saw when I was looking preparing, all the mefarshim say Hashem yodei machshos. I told you this before. Hashem knows the thoughts of man. What thoughts? What thoughts are we referring to? Hashem knows that man suspects Hashem. Hashem knows that we think that Hashem doesn't know. That's what it means. Hashem knows how foolish our foolish thoughts. Hashem knows that we think that Hashem does not know. That's really what it means. Ki hei mohavel. Okay, next part, last part. Like Asher Agever, Asher Lahat Tzadikim Hameunim Tachas Yedeichem. This goes into the next theme on the next pages. Just the first pasuk, at least they'll keep the symmetry of the page, the article pagination. Okay, Hashem Asher Lahat Tzadikim Hameunim Tachas Yedeichem, that are afflicted, that are chastised. Asher Hashem Hu Hamiyasroi Al Yedeichem. Through this, Hashem reveals megale oizen. I don't know what he means by that. It reveals a handle to do the words of Torah through yisurim. It goes totally zeb. I once know of a person, a very famous person. I don't want to say his name for whatever reason, but everyone here knows who this person is. And he has a very, very fine reputation as being an outstanding Talmud Chacham. And Rachmana Litzlan, he has a lot of Yisurim. He has a very big tzara. If I tell you the person right away, you know what I'm talking about. And someone personally told me that he was his Chavrusa in Yeshiva many, many years ago. And he said to me, he told me that when we learned b'charusa, he was nothing special. Average guy, no one really paid much attention to him. And whatever, he was a good guy, whatever, nothing special. And now, he's he has a very, very good reputation. And he met him, he sat down with him, and he said to him, tell me, I don't understand. Me and you, remember back in the olden day? We learned b'charusa. I think I was better than you. I think the Rebbeim would have said that I would turn out to be a much more successful Talmud Chacham than you. And now I'm just an average Joe. And you're a big guy. You've spoken to all these big events. And you have a job where you have quite a following. Why? How did this happen? So he told him, Yisurim. That's what happened. I suffered a lot. If I tell you the name, privately I'll tell you the person. Yisurim, I went through in my life very significant Yisurim, and through the Yisurim is where I grew. That's how I grow. I always tell you, loy hein v'loy scharam, no, it's not worth it. It ain't worth it. Loy hein v'loy scharam, that's the halacha. But Rachmana Litzlan, people who unfortunately, this is what happened to them. Look what the pasuk says: Ashra gevesher tiasrenu ka. That, whatever that means, person suffered. Umi toyroscha salamidenu. The trade-off is a person that rachmana litzlan, people went through such a thing. They somehow, we don't know how this works, it conditions their neshama, where their neshama is receptive to be an incredible, outstanding tool, a Talmud Chacham. They Hashem endows upon them incredible knowledge, like none other, of Hashem's Torah, the secrets of this world. All right, Amir Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with Rashi's and with the Targum and a few little selected of Hashem. But I like that verse, the important verse. Hayoyser Adam Halo Yochiach. If Hashem is giving Musar, that means Hashem is the ultimate Baal Musar. Okay, let's take a short break and we'll learn some of the Sefer HaChassidim. So did everyone go and watch the solar eclipse yesterday? I watched, it was only like 2 years ago, there was a solar eclipse.
17.
I had the glasses, what? No,
yes.
Not, there was a much more recent, within the, after COVID.
2017, they said.
No, there was a small, not a totality. There was a partial solar eclipse within two years ago. It was like during COVID. They even showed the video of Trump during that. Trump was the president then. So it must have been then more. Must have been. If Trump's right now president before for 3 years. So it wasn't 4 years ago.
Before
20. It wasn't so long ago. It feels like yesterday. I had the glasses. I remember exactly where I was. And I saw it was talking very interesting. It wasn't a total eclipse. It was a.
Yeah, you saw banana.
Whatever I saw, but I didn't have the glasses yesterday. I didn't go outside to see it.
I saw, yeah, it was very.
It was good.
Yeah, it was
you saw the moon coming right in between.
Yeah.
The moon came right in between.
On the YouTube, I saw.
Yeah, it's also YouTube. I saw the YouTube videos.
Like 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So 4 minutes. It was totally dark, like night.
Totally dark. And they asked everybody to shut off the phones.
Quiet. It was mamish, really dark,
yeah,
total eclipse.
Yeah,
it completely blocked the sun.
Yes.
No rim.
No rim. And then like a few seconds later,
the animals go crazy. They show different videos of the zoo. The zoos. They show the zoos. Videos of the zoos. The animals go crazy.
Yeah.
They have a sensitivity to this.
The most long total
darkness
was in Mexico City.
Over
4 minutes.
4 minutes totality, complete darkness. Wow.
That was the report. Said.
Over here, it didn't get too dark.
No, it didn't. It was gray, but
it was cloudy. But it got cold.
Yeah, I felt it.
4 degrees colder.
4 degrees colder. Wow.
You felt it, by the way.
That's interesting.
Then it came out again, you noticed the difference in light, it was brighter.
It takes the sun is only blocked, not from the sun, only from the place of the moon. How long does it take from to get the light
the
of sound?
8 minutes.
No, that's the sun. But the sun is being blocked from the moon, so what is the difference when the moon gets out of the way? How long does it take from the rays of the sun to get from the moon to hear? Almost nothing. Almost nothing. Seconds. From the sun, it takes 8 minutes. But when the moon blocks the sun, so the rays of the sun are blocked from the moon. So when the moon gets out of the way, you only need it to get from the moon to Earth, which probably takes nothing. Seconds. It's 400 times. There's 400 times difference between the sun and the moon. I wanted to have a whole drush on this. I'll talk about this.
The eclipse, this occurs every day.
What?
The eclipse, the alignment, the sun with the moon occurs every day.
Yeah, but to block it.
But the alignment, the earth, the sun, the moon, is
right.
Very rare.
the alignment, the angle where it's completely blocked, where the sun is right in the middle, the moon is right where the moon is able to block the light from where you're standing, is an amazing phenomenon.
The sun is 93 million miles away. The moon is 250,000 miles away.
The difference is 400 times, approximately. What's the difference?
It's 93 million against 250,000.
So when you divide that number, what do you get? 400. Exactly 400?
Not exactly.
Close 400.
And the speed of light, I don't know.
300 miles an hour.
So when the moon gets out of the way, the rays of the sun can get to Earth in a second. It's traveling a very small amount, 400 times less. So it's a very instant. All right, let's learn some Sefer Hasidim, and then we're going to learn. I want to talk about Rosh Chodesh Nisan and tie into Rosh Chodesh Nisan the solar eclipse.